Today I'm going to talk about something that, well, you know what? I don't think I've ever heard a single sermon preached on it. I don't think I've ever even heard it addressed in church. But I have heard it spoken of every once in a while on Family Life Network. When they bring up churches that are doing things on a community calendar, they have churches that hold meetings for men to become free from sexual addiction. And what I'm going to talk about today is pornography. And it doesn't get a whole lot of talking about in churches or in society, but it is a plague that has hit pretty much every household in America. And I'm going to start off with just a couple of interesting factoids about pornography on the internet. Porn sites receive more regular traffic than Netflix, Amazon, and Twitter combined each month. 35% of all internet downloads are pornography related. 34% of internet users have been exposed to unwanted porn via ads, pop-ups, etc. People who admit to having affairs outside of marriage were over 300% more likely to say that they had been consuming porn than those who did not have affairs. At least 30% of all data transferred across the internet is pornography related, and the most common female role in porn is women in their 20s portraying teenagers. And the last one is the average age of starting to watch porn among boys is 8 years old, and among girls is 10. My parents never talked to me about porn. My parents never, you know, my dad was a preacher. He never preached about porn, as far as I remember. And I think that's one of the reasons that I started looking at porn when I was maybe 12 years old. And I didn't know that there was really anything wrong with it, except for the fact that the kids who told me what sites to go to when I was at school told me, don't let your parents find out, or they'll block the computer. And I continued doing this all the way up into college. And everybody else that I knew in my dorm area was doing it too. Every single other guy, even among the Christian guys that were my roommates. One of them went on to be a priest. Another one's a pastor down in Tennessee. They were doing it too. And nobody ever said that it was wrong. Didn't hear it from the campus chaplain, didn't hear it in Bible studies, at the Christian fellowships. Nobody ever talked about it. And it wasn't until I started dating Katie, and God put a godly woman in my life, and she asked me point blank, do you look at porn? And I went, well, yeah. And she said, you're not going to if you want to be with me. Put a stop to it right there. And I had to go back and reevaluate my life and go, what have I been doing in front of this computer all this time? What have I been doing on the internet? What have I been doing with these women who are making these videos? What have I been doing? What is in my mind now that shouldn't be there? And it was all because Katie came up to me and said, you stop that right now. That I had to actually have that conversation with myself, and I had to go on my knees before God. But that had never happened to me before. Nobody had ever tried to convict me of this sin that was just existing in my life. And I thank God that I've been free of it since I started dating Katie. But I know that there's a lot of other people who are in bondage to it, and they don't even know because nobody has ever said anything. I know there's a lot of people who are in bondage to it, and it's a hidden thing. It's something that you can click onto your computer and be done with in 5 minutes, and nobody else has to know about it. And the internet keeps making it easier and easier to hide it. But it's in people's lives, and it causes problems. But nobody talks about this in churches. Why? Because, well, it's one of those things, it's an icky subject. You know, it's one of those things that you think you just reserve for your own private life. Maybe talk about it just in a Bible study or something like that. But then most people still don't hear about it, and they don't know how bad this is and what it does to a person. And they don't know that it's in so many people's lives, and they don't see it as a problem in the world. They don't talk about it very much on the public, well, not public, but they don't talk about it much on the cable TV series or any of those things either.
Our world has this kind of sanitized look about it, but underneath, there's this undercurrent of sin and evil that is going on. And I just read off those statistics. Now, the reason I probably didn't get into it till I was 12 is because the internet wasn't as big when I was that old. Who here remembers when the internet kind of started? Yeah. 56K modems, if you had that, made that sound when you got online. Took you 15 minutes to get one picture, you know. But nowadays, we've all got high-speed connections. I can download an entire two-hour movie off of Netflix in about, maybe 3 minutes, if that. Kids today have access to things way worse than what I had access to when I was growing up. And that's what makes this even worse. Because, you know, there's nothing stopping them. All it takes is 3 mouse clicks and the right word in Google. And you can get whatever you want up on that screen. And like I said, it can be gone in 5 minutes and nobody ever needs to know that it was there. And there's no way to track it in a lot of cases. The porn industry is worth over $100 billion a year. And consumers can get what they want for free. What other industry is like that? Anybody? Can you go to McDonald's and get a hamburger for free? Maybe a buy one, get one free. Can you go to Netflix and just get on and watch a movie without somebody having to pay for it? Unless you're stealing somebody else's password? No? Are there any other services that you can think of where you can get it for free if the government isn't subsidizing it or something like that? Anybody? No? But how come this is? And how come it's worth more than $100 billion a year? I've got a simple answer for you. It's the devil. Making this thing that drags people right down to the grave and right down into the fires of hell available for free to anybody who wants it. And making it available at the push of a button for anybody who has the inclination to get it, that has to be the devil's handiwork. Anybody older than me who remembers there used to be adult video stores all over the place, and there used to be, you know, shops with magazines that were up on the top rack, and you know, you could go in and buy those, but you still had to buy them. You don't even have to buy anything today. All you have to do is just own a computer and have an internet connection, or even own a smartphone and have an internet connection, or a tablet, or any of the electronic devices that has a screen and you can view something on. It's all available to anybody who wants it. What does the Bible tell us to do about this? Well, I just read from Matthew, and people like to mock that verse. Oh, Jesus is making fun. Cut off your arm. Gouge out your eye. Well, what are people doing with their eyes and with their hands these days? Jesus was 100% serious. This was not just a metaphor. This was not just an example. This was Jesus saying, if you cannot go through life without committing this sin because you have hands and you have eyes, it's a lot better to be blind and without hands and go to heaven, where you'll get those back and you'll get that body imperishable, than go through life with perfectly working hands and perfectly working eyes and then burn for all eternity. Jesus was deadly serious about this. He wasn't just making a point. He was saying, this is how important this message is. What does the Bible say we are to do when we are tempted? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. Flee! Run! Get away from sexual temptation. This is Paul talking to the Corinthians. He said, get away from sexual temptation. Get rid of it. What that video was that I showed you a little bit earlier was exactly that. You have a choice. If you have this window into hell in your home, and that's what you're tempted to use it for, you can either say, oh, I'm strong enough to avoid it and still use it, or you can get rid of it completely. Some people have to get rid of it completely. Some people have to go from a smartphone down to a flip phone that can't get video. Some people have to go from having a computer to having no computer, even getting rid of their TVs because they are so tempted. You know, I have a smartphone and a computer and a laptop and all that, and let me tell you, the temptation is still there. But that's why I sang about the power of the blood earlier this morning. They have the power of the blood to overcome that temptation. But if it ever got a hold of me again, I told Katie, a long time ago. If I ever felt that temptation coming back on me, she'd suddenly find that my phone, my computer, everything was out on the curb. Because I don't want that back in my life again. And I'll tell you why. This is something that never gets talked about outside, and here's why. Why should we flee? Porn use leads to higher rates of divorce. Less marital satisfaction, the loss of a desire to get married. More likely to be sexually assaulted if you're a girl, and more likely to sexually assault if you're a boy. Porn promotes violence against women. Over 85% of pornography that is out there has some kind of assault taking place against women. One of the most popular scenarios is making women pay for something that they've done wrong with sexual favors. What was that whole Me Too campaign just about not too long ago? You can't get the job unless you get naked with the boss. That was the Me Too campaign. That was saying that all these people had been doing this. And here it is in all of the popular pornography that's online, and yet nobody is causing us to think about that. Porn makes men more likely to rape and to believe that women want to be raped. 624,000 plus child porn producers have been found in the United States, and that number is growing. And the most popular porn searches are incest and teenagers. Why are we okay with this in America? Why is this an okay thing? Why is nobody talking about it? Why is nobody outraged that these things are there? We know that these things are disgusting. Why aren't we doing anything about it? Well, here's why. 99% of men, 35% of women, 50% of pastors say that they have used pornography more than 2 times a day, every day. That's why there's no outrage, because everybody's already doing it. It'd be like every single person in the United States smoking cigarettes, and then they going, you know, I think these are bad for me. Let's start protesting. That wouldn't happen. Why? Because everybody was already doing it. This has worked its way into the culture so far that 47% of Christian households say that it's a problem within their house. 47%. We are supposed to be holy, kept free from sin, able to use the power of the Holy Spirit to cast these things away from ourselves. And yet 47% of Christian households and 50% of pastors. Do you know that the entire country of, oh, it just jumped out of my head, Ecuador, I believe, all of the bishops resigned last week. All the Catholic bishops in the country resigned. I think it was Ecuador. Somebody will have to fact check me on that. Because the Pope called them all to account over the child molestation charges that the church was facing in that country. And so all the bishops said, you know what, if you're going to call us all out and say that we've done wrong, we're all just going to quit. People would rather that the evil continue instead of it being exposed and dragged out into the light. That's what Jesus was saying to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. He came to shine a light on the world so that the sins of men would be dragged out into the light and exposed, and that the evils would stop. But people like the darkness because it allows them to hide their sin. And I said 99% of men, and it's a lot of the times women sit back and go, those horrible men, looking at that trash on the internet. Well, this is only tracking the internet usage. What's something very, very popular that came out in the last 7 years that women have predominantly been doing? 50 Shades of Grey. And 50 Shades of Grey is not alone. It was just an example that made it really big because of lots of marketing. And they made a couple of movies about it. But I remember when I was down in North Carolina and that book came out, and it was suddenly in the women's Bible study. They were passing it around. Like, hey, read this. It's life-changing. Everybody picked this. You know what it is? It was pornography. But it was in text form. And people don't notice things that aren't pictures. But it can be even worse because Wyatt makes an emotional bond with the person who reads it. When I was in middle school, I used to go to the library a lot in the middle school, in the actual school itself. And I was a voracious reader. How voracious I used to hold up my free reading book when the English teacher would say, everybody have their free reading book for the day, and I would hold it up, and it'd be The Stand by Stephen King. It's 1,100 pages. And she'd go, Tom, you can put yours down. I used to read like crazy. But I was going through a line of fiction books, and I came to one, and I took it out. You know, nice, thick book, had a picture of dinosaurs on the front. I was like, oh, this ought to be fun. And I started reading it, and all of a sudden, within four pages, I was running into these hardcore R, X-rated sex scenes where they described it for 15 pages, what the people were doing. And I went, why is this in the middle school library? But then I realized the librarian was reading the fourth book in the series. And I'd seen people at my church reading this book. And I went to a church book sale not too long ago, and I pointed it out to the pastor. I went, those five books you have right there are porn books. And they went, what? I went, yeah, those are porn books right there. And they had no idea. These books had been hiding on wives' shelves, on mothers' shelves, on Christian pastors' shelves, just innocuous because nobody knew what they were. And the women have been going, you evil men, for looking at that trash. Meanwhile, they've got one open right there. Now I'm going to be off in my bedroom for the next hour. Don't open the door. Doing the same thing as the men were doing, just with a book instead of with a video screen. They're the same thing. And that's how this has taken root in our culture, has infiltrated our society so easily. Because everybody was doing it and nobody wanted to blow the whistle on it or it might be taken away from them. Sin works its way in. And one thing that it has definitely caused is there has been a spike in child sexual abuse since the internet has gained traction and it's become easier for people to get into this. Like I said, what are the two most popular? Incest and teenagers. Child sexual abuse is on the rise. And I believe quite firmly it's because so many people are looking at this trash and absorbing it. And if they don't want to leave to go find somebody to enact these scenes with, well, guess what? You got kids right in their own house and they think that they're an option. Straight from the devil. How do I know that it makes any kind of impact on women when they're reading the romance novels and those kind of porn books like 50 Shades of Grey? 50 Shades of Grey is about a woman who was emotionally and physically abused, yet it became a national, international bestseller. Replaced the Bibles in some hotel rooms. One of the major things in the book is people being tied up. The year after it debuted in New York City, the sale of rope went up 1,500%. Rope. Not usually a hot selling item. How do I know that these things have an effect on our society? Because stuff like that happens. We like to focus on the big, out in the open sins of our world. But this is one that's in private and it's killing people from the inside. And what we need in our world today is we need parents to teach their kids, A, you don't look at this stuff. It's bad for you. It can hurt you. B, if you are raising girls, first date, ask them the question. If they say yes, they're using this stuff, either you tell them to stop and you make sure they stop, or you quit it right there. By all rights, Katie should have dumped me on the spot. She should have looked at me and said I was damaged goods and left me there. I'm glad she didn't, but I would advise any girl coming up now, especially because I believe it's a lot worse than when I was doing it, any girl coming up now, that if that guy says yes, you dump him right there. End of the line for you, buddy. Also, we need a way to monitor our kids' internet usage. Why? Because we're the parents and we know better. Good luck convincing them that, but we do know better. We know how evil this thing can be in their lives. There are some programs online, things like Covenant Eyes, which is a program that it doesn't block anything, but it'll send you a report about what they're doing. And the idea is for adults to get this on their computers and their tablets and their phones too, and then have somebody that you trust, maybe not your wife or your kid or somebody else, but have somebody you trust get the report so they know what you're doing. And if they see something that's flagged red, they can call you up and say, hey, what are you doing? It's accountability. But the biggest thing we need to do is pray. Pray for the power to overcome it if it's in our own lives, because the Holy Spirit is with us if we believe in Jesus Christ and will give us the power to overcome. And pray for the rest of our society. It's easy to look at the big outward things that people might do and miss the ones that they hide in the closet. Miss the ones that hide behind their browser history. And sometimes we need to do exactly what Kirk Cameron did up there and smash the computer. I like that little part where he's smashing and he turns at his neighbors looking at him like he's crazy. This is a theme throughout the whole movie. But that one little part shows that as you free yourself or free your kids or free your family members from this thing, the rest of society will look at you like you're nuts. But as Christians, we should kind of get accustomed to that look. Because as we do things that the rest of our society thinks, oh, why would you be cutting yourself off from that? In fact, I've heard counselors on programs, even Christian programs, saying, oh, yes, pornography can be a big help in your marital life. No, you don't bring other people into your bedroom. As you cut yourself off from things that are evil and dirty and awful in your life, the rest of society will look at you like you're crazy. It's kind of like being the only sober person at a party full of drunkards. They all start pulling away from you and going, there's something different about that person. I don't trust them. I don't like it. But that's who we have to be, set apart, different, changed from the world. And one big thing is to know that these evils exist and that they are pitfalls that we don't want to fall into. Let us pray together. Lord in heaven, we ask you to make us holy. We ask you to make our homes holy, our families holy, our friendships and relationships holy. We ask that we can be the salt in the world, driving out the impurities that have worked their way in to every single part of this world. And we ask for you to plant your flag here, and from this place, may we have cleansing in America. Amen.